This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على من بعث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن نفس لا تشبع. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. We begin by expressing our gratitude and our thanks and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the Most Merciful. We ask Allah to shower and compliment Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with peace and mercy and blessings, and his companions, and his family, and all those who follow his tradition until the end of time. Let us begin by asking Allah to teach us that which is beneficial to us and allow us to benefit from that which he has taught us, and to increase us in beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah to protect us from information which does not benefit. Not all knowledge is beneficial knowledge. Some knowledge is information, it's a liability. If it doesn't bring us benefit, then it's a liability. So we ask Allah to protect us from that kind of knowledge, but rather to increase us in beneficial knowledge. We ask Allah to protect us from a heart that is so hard it does not tremble, and from an eye that is so dry it does not shed tears with the remembrance of Allah, and from a nafs that does not ever find satisfaction, is always seeking more and more from this dunya. We understand that nothing is possible unless Allah gives us the success, and He is the one capable of making the most difficult achievable. So we begin with His name, asking for sincerity and success. It's been a little bit of a while since the last time I had the pleasure of being here with you all. And we began this discussion about how to attain the love of Allah. We talked about the attribute of love, that Allah loves, and that we also have the attribute of love. We talked about how a station that a believer reaches, which is loving Allah, is a wonderful station. But there is a station above that, and that is the station that the servant reaches where Allah loves them in return. We mentioned that basically we are talking about 10 ways of attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are extrapolated from the book of Ibn al-Qayyim, Madarij al-Salikin. He mentions these 10 actions that if you follow them, you will be amongst those that Allah loves. You will be amongst the type of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and that His Messenger of Allah expressed that Allah loves those types of people. Anybody remember what we started with? I don't remember who was here. That was a while ago, huh? That was in like 2 months ago or something? Yeah, because I was supposed to be with you guys last month, but there was a scheduling change and there was another program that took that place. But anybody remember? No? You weren't here? I think you were here. You sure you're right here? I think you're right. First of all, does Allah love His servants? Can any of His servants be amongst those that Allah loves? Because it's easy for us to say we love Allah. I mean, who's going to deny that? No one's going to deny that. It seems that no one remembers. So let us do a refresher. Shall we do a refresher? Shall we pretend like that didn't happen? Even though the video's online, but let's just pretend it didn't happen. We just pretend, inshallah. Okay, bismillah. So is it possible, you know, we say we love Allah, is it possible that Allah can love us? Yes? Inshallah, you guys seem very confident in that. Anybody have some proof? Yes. You wake up every morning. Okay, well, some very bad people wake up every morning too, right? There's people that cause a lot of evil, they wake up many mornings. So, but I appreciate your perspective, that you're looking at it from the perspective of gratitude, that the fact that I'm here is a blessing from Allah. That's a very good mindset to have. MashaAllah. Thank you. Anything else? Yes. Huh? From Al-Quran? Where in the Quran it says? You didn't think there was going to be a follow-up question to that. Like, it's in the Quran. I know it's in the Quran. Imam Shafi'i was asked a question. Afwan. Sorry, go ahead. You know, sometimes these tangents, they become like, you know, they just take you and run with you. Jameel. Jameel. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawabin. Yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. Jameel. Beautiful. Very nice. Okay, so Allah explicitly in the Quran says He loves certain types of people and He described them. For example, those that do tawbah, those that purify themselves. Good. Yes. Oh, I thought you were going to say another name. Al-Wadud. Yes, Ar-Rahim. You know, part of mercy is expressing love. But Allah's mercy is so vast. It includes His love, it includes all of His actions. Fall under وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. But there's another name of Allah that's more specific. Al-Wadud. Al-Wud is deeper than Hub. Al-Wud is deeper than Al-Hub. It's a level of love that is a very deep love. Yeah. Very. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you. There was another hand here. Yes, somebody else had their hand here. Yes. Jameel, mumtaz. Allah in the Quran says, say, if you truly love Allah, then follow the Messenger, يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. So Allah explicitly in the Quran gave us a recipe of how to attain His love in different passages. Tawbah, purification, tawakkul, relying upon Allah. Jameel, very good. Following the Messenger. So Allah in different places in the Quran is telling us of different ways that we can attain His love. This is very good. MashaAllah, very nice. Okay. All of these are correct and valid. Ibn al-Qayyim, the scholar Ibn al-Qayyim, he was a wonderful scholar. May Allah have mercy upon him. He authored tremendous volumes works. And of them is this special book. It's called Madarij al-Salikin. It's one of his most famous publications. And he surveyed, you know, the Qur'an, the sunnah of the Messenger, the actions of the Sahaba and the righteous people. And he kind of put together a sort of program for us to follow, if you will, to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He selected 10 attributes that if a person follows them, they will be amongst those that Allah loves. We mentioned a few of them last time, but as we said, we will start from fresh. Bismillah. The first one that he said is, he says, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says, قِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ بِالتَّدَبُّرِ وَالتَّفَهُمِ لِمَعَانِهِ وَمَا أُرِيدَ بِهِ كَتَدَبُّرِ الْكِتَابِ الَّذِي يَحْفَظُهُ الْعَبْدُ وَيَشْرَحُهُ لِيَتَفَهَّمَ مُرَادَ صَاحِبِهِ مِنْهِ. The first thing that he says is, reading Qur'an, reciting the Qur'an with tadabbur. What does tadabbur mean? Tadabbur means to ponder and reflect and ask questions and interact with what you are reading. So there are different ways of reading the Qur'an based on your objective. There is a reading of Qur'an for the purpose of memorization. Say, I'm trying to memorize Surah Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. And then I try without looking. And then you go. I'm reading it for the purpose of memorizing it. Then after that, there is a reading للمراجعة for review. Okay, I've memorized Surah Al-Fatiha, but now I'm going to read it to review, because what you memorize, it can run away from you very quickly unless you hold on to it tightly. And the way you hold on to it tightly is by reviewing it. So there is a reading for review, مراجعة. So you memorize something, mashallah, you keep reviewing it and reading it so that you don't forget it. Good. There is a qira'a for ruqya. Sometimes you read Qur'an for the purpose of ruqya, for the purpose of shifa, of curing. Right? There are many evils that we don't see with our eyes. There are many illnesses that, you know, the prescriptions from the doctor or pharmacist may not help with. There are certain conditions that the way we protect ourselves and fortify ourselves is by reading these particular passages that the Prophet ﷺ taught us to do so with the intention of ruqya, with the intention of seeking cure, seeking protection in Allah from that which we may not see. That's one type of reading. There is a reading for al-iktar. There is a reading for the purpose of quantity. Sometimes quantity is good. When is quantity good? You know, we always say quality over quantity. Yes, I know. Quality over quantity. ما عندنا مشكلة. No problem. But sometimes quantity is emphasized. When? In Ramadan. In Ramadan, which is coming up pretty soon, right? Pretty soon or no? No? Okay. I'm just making sure. Alhamdulillah. So, you guys are scaring me a little bit. Very soon, huh? Just a number of days. So in Ramadan, we are encouraged to do ikthar. Read Quran as much as possible. As much as possible. And then there is the reciting of Quran for tadabbur. Now each of these readings has a different objective. So the speed by which you read, the passages that you are reading, perhaps, you know, your mental state at the time may vary because of the objective for that reading. But when we're talking about qira'atul Qur'an bi tadabbur, what we're talking about is we're talking about reading it slowly, methodically, carefully, noticing and paying attention to each word and interacting with what we are reading in a couple of ways. First, asking questions. What is meant here? What does Allah want me to do with this verse? How should I react? How does this resonate with my life, my experiences? And then what can I do about it? What actions can I take based on this that I have read? What lessons can I extract from this? This is called reading with tadabbur. You know, this is how the righteous people read Quran, with that kind of mindset. Ibn al-Jawzi, he says, يَنْبَغِي لِتَالِي الْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ أَنْ يَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى لُطْفِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِخَلْقِهِ فِي إِيصَالِ مَعَانِي كَلَامِهِ إِلَى أَفْهَامِهِمْ. Ibn al-Jawzi, he comments and he says, when you sit down and you recite the Qur'an, it's imperative that you reflect over the mercy of Allah and the gentleness of Allah and His love for us, that He has blessed us with this gift of the Qur'an. And he has to do, the reciter must do, وَيَتَدَبَّرَ كَلَامُهُ, and he has to reflect and ponder. Actually, it's an honor for us to do so. It's an honor for us. Where did we get the idea that this is a means of attaining the love of Allah? Well, there was this companion. There was the Sahabi. This is narrated in the book of At-Tabarani. And the narrators are trustworthy in this narration. It is narrated that one of the companions used to lead salah. He used to lead other groups of companions in salah. And he had this strange habit of repeating Suratul Ikhlas. Of repeating Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad in every single unit of prayer. And the sahaba are like, hey man, what are you doing? What is this? We don't, you know, see the Messenger of Allah doing this. Where did you get this from? So they complained to the Prophet ﷺ about him. Every time he's reading Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. And when he was asked, why does he do that? He said, because it is mentioning the characteristics of Ar-Rahman, of the Most Merciful. And I love my Lord and my Creator, the Most Merciful, so I love to read His attributes. And the surah that describes Him, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَخْبِرُوهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّهُ. Inform Him that Allah loves Him. He attained the love of Allah, and the Prophet guaranteed this, because the Prophet ﷺ informed us. He attained the love of Allah by repeating the surah. And it came from a place of love, from a place of sincerity. You know, reading the Qur'an with tadabbur is actually a cure for many of the diseases of the heart. And I don't mean those dealing with the cholesterol and the arteries, and the fats. Are fats bad for your heart? Huh? Fat is not, no, who said no? Who said no? Who said no? I want to know who said it. You said no? Jazakumullah khair. You're right. They're not bad. Finally, somebody that recognizes. Sugar is bad. I won't take you guys down that rant now. That's for another day, inshallah. This isn't nutrition class. This is nutrition of the soul. Where do we get this correlation from? Look at this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Baqarah, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. This is one of the recitations. كذبون. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah that there is a category of people who, the munafiqun, the hypocrites. Allah says their hearts are diseased. There are serious diseases in their hearts. A disease that doesn't show up on an x-ray or an MRI or any one of those tests. But it's a disease of the heart. Why? They're going to have punishment. Why? بِمَكَانُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. Because they used to reject. What? Reject Qur'an. We find when we read the Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually criticizes the munafiqun because they don't do tadabbur of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Won't they ponder and reflect over the Qur'an? Imam al-Qurtubi, the famous scholar of tafsir, he says, عَابَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ بِالْإِعْرَاضِ عَنِ التَّدَبُّرِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَالتَّفَكُّرِ فِيهِ وَفِي مَعَانِهِ. He says, this verse is a criticism of hypocrites because they don't ponder and they don't reflect over the meanings in the Qur'an. They don't do tadabbur. If they read, it's just a recitation that does not go beyond the lips and the tongue. And that is a means of them being criticized by Allah. The Prophet ﷺ, on the flip side, he said that the best of people are those that learn the Qur'an and teach it and spend time with the Qur'an. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ, as it is recorded in Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ, he addressed the companions and he said, Allah has some close allies and companions, the family of Allah. The Sahaba said, مَنْهُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who are these? Who are you talking about? The Prophet ﷺ said, أهل القرآن هم أهل الله وخاصته. The people that are closely associated with the Qur'an, they are those that are in turn closely associated with Allah. They are a special group of people and they have special standing. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا حسد إلا في اثنتين. رجل آتاه الله القرآن فهو يقوم به آناء الليل وآناء النهار ورجل آتاه الله مالا فهو ينفقه آناء الليل وآناء النهار. The Prophet ﷺ said, being envious, being jealous of someone else is all bad, except in two cases, in two scenarios. In the scenario in which you are jealous of a person that has been given the knowledge of Qur'an, so they recite it by day and by night. Or of a person that has wealth, and they, not just any person that has wealth, they have wealth and they are spending it in ways that please Allah by day and by night. And the usage of the word hasad here in this hadith is of a positive connotation. Meaning it's not like being envious, meaning you want them to lose that blessing. But being jealous because you're like, oh, I wish I had that as well so I can do the good that they are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Qur'an in Surah Sad that the objective of revealing this Qur'an was so that the people would do tadabbur. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. It is a blessed book that we revealed so that لِيَتَدَبَّرُوا. That lamb there is for sabab, the reason. The reason we revealed it is so that they can do tadabbur and reflect and take these verses as a reminder. لِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Those that want to use the intellect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَن تَبُورَ لِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ. Allah says, those people that recite the book of Allah, and they establish salah, and they spend from that which Allah blessed them, in secret and openly, they are seeking تِجَارَةً لَن تَبُورٌ. They are seeking a business transaction that is guaranteed to be profitable. تجارة لن تبور. Ibn Kathir says, أي هي الثواب الذي لا بد من حصوله. This is the referring to the thawab, the reward from Allah, that there is no option other than Allah giving that reward to you. Imagine if you engage in an investment and someone says, no matter what you do, you're winning. You'll get your investment back. You're not going to think twice. I'll take all of my money, bismillah. Multiply it, take it all. Because it's so guaranteed. There is no, I don't think, Allahu A'lam, if you guys know of one, let me know so I can invest it too. But I don't think there is any business transaction in this dunya that can give you that level of guarantee. Right? Everything comes with some amount of risk. That's the nature of business. But this tijara with Allah, لن تبور. There is no option of losing or failing. That is reciting the Qur'an with tadabbur. What is the point behind tadabbur? التدبر هو المقصود من القراءة وإن لم يحصل التدبر إلا بترداد الآية فليرددها. فقد روى أبو ذر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قام ليلة بآية يرددها: إن تعذبهم فإنهم عبادك وإن تغفر لهم فإنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. When we talk about tadabbur, what we are talking about here, the objective is that you recite the Qur'an, extracting these benefits and lessons. But a person says, it's not working for me. I'm reading, I don't know. I'm not getting anything out of it. So here in this quote, the scholars say, you have to repeat, repetition. So if we want to do tadabbur, take that as a pro tip right there from the ulama, that there needs to be repetition. You repeat it over and over again. Where do we get this from? We get this from the hadith of Abu Dharr. The hadith of Abu Dharr, he says that the Prophet ﷺ did qiyam. He prayed the whole night, only repeating one verse. One ayah from Qur'an. It's from Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 118. Where Allah says, where Isa is speaking to Allah in the Qur'an. Allah says this, Allah tells us of what Isa says. If you choose to punish them, then they are your servants. And if you choose to forgive them, then you are the most mighty, the most wise. And such a powerful statement about Allah. The Prophet ﷺ just was overcome with the intensity of this verse. He repeated it over and over again the whole night. Just that one ayah. So we talked about that there is a type of reading. The objective of it is quantity. But when we talk about tadabbur, the objective is not necessarily quantity. It's about being able to reflect and being affected and impacted by what you are reading. وَيَنْبَغِي لِلتَّالِي أَنْ يَسْتَوْضِحَ مِنْ كُلِّ آيَةٍ مَا يَلِيقُ بِهَا. It's important that we extract a lesson from every verse, every phrase in the Qur'an that is appropriate with what we are reading. It's appropriate. It works with the words and the meanings that Allah is establishing. For example, you come across a verse in which Allah is describing that He created the heavens and the earth. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا وَأَلْقَى فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. So many verses Allah talks about creating the heavens and the earth and everything in between, you know, without any fault or without any taking away from the might of Allah. What is the appropriate reflection that we should have when we read this? Is awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being amazed by how great Allah is. Also, a person can look to themselves and say, how dependent I am in Allah. How am I able to do something like this? No, I can't. Allah is far greater than me and than His creation. So you see, there are those reflections there that are appropriate with what we are reading. والوقوف مع الآية وإعادة النظر فيها والتأمل لمعانيها بما يستشعر به المرء حلاوة القرآن. Stopping and pausing after reading a particular passage or verse. You don't have to always go continuously. You can read and then stop. Force yourself to stop. Take a break. And then don't continue, but look back at that couple of lines that you just read. And look, is there anything interesting there? Is there anything especially amazing there that I notice? Is there something that I have a question about? Is there something that is standing out? But making those pauses, And then going back and looking, trying to approach that same passage from a different perspective. Trying to think about it from a different angle. One of the scholars' name was Bishr. He said, إِنَّمَا الْآيَةُ مِثْلَ التَّمْرَةِ كُلَّمَا مَضَغْتَهَا إِسْتَخْرَجْتَ حَلَاوَتَهَا. The scholar, he said, you know, reciting the Qur'an is like sucking on a date. Or like something sweet. Right? Something sweet. He says, each time you suck on it, you keep getting a flavor of sweetness. Until it's completely gone. Then it goes away, then you want the next one. Then you're a sugar addict. Then we got to go back to talking about sugars and fats. No, we're not. How did we get there again? I thought we said it's not a nutrition class. Tayyib. But this is a metaphor. Another scholar by the name of Abu Sulaiman was informed of this. He said, hey, did you hear what that guy Bishr said? He said, reading Quran is like sucking on candy or something sweet. Each time you suck on it, you get the flavor of sweetness. He heard that and he said, صدق. إنما يؤتى أحدكم من أنه إذا ابتدأ السورة أراد آخرها. This is mentioned in the book of Al-Burhan في علوم القرآن. He said, you know, the problem is when one of us, we start reading a chapter of Qur'an, and from the beginning we're already looking when it's going to end. And then, you know, that's a problem if you're reading Surah Al-Baqarah. Because that's the longest one. You start. That's why a lot of people, they say, oh, this Ramadan, I'm going to finish the Qur'an 10 times. And then they get through a few pages of Baqarah, they're like, oh man, what's going on here? Yeah, I haven't even finished one surah yet. You know? That's why the first surahs of the Qur'an, they're known as As-Sab' al-Tiwal. The seven long chapters of the Qur'an. That's why our teachers, they never recommended anyone who wants to memorize Qur'an to begin with that. You know, some people, they get so zealous and they have so much motivation, that I'm going to memorize the Qur'an from cover to cover. MashaAllah. Bismillah. Let me begin at the beginning. Alif, Lam, Mim. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. You see them next week, what happened? Oh, it's too long. You've been struggling all this time, I can't even finish one surah. No, that's not the proper methodology. Right? You begin with the smaller surahs and you work your way up. إِنَّ لِلْقُرْآنِ صُحْبَةً. The scholar says that Qur'an has a special type of relationship. There is a companionship that you can have with the Qur'an. فَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ صُحْبَةَ الْقُرْآنِ أَحْسَنَ الْقُرْآنُ صُحْبَتَهُ. So whoever is the best companion with the Qur'an will be the best of companions back to that person. It's a two-way street. It goes back and forth. It's a two-way street. أَمَّا مَنْ هَجَرَ الْقُرْآنِ فَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ يَهْجُرُهُ فَلَا يُرَى لَهُ شَوْقٌ إِلَّا تِلَاوَةِ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ كَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَجِدُهُ كُلَّ حِينَ الْمَوْصُولُ بِصُحْبَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. Similarly, the one who abandons the Qur'an will abandon them as well. And they will lose the sweetness and the enjoyment of reading the Qur'an. It becomes a burden. It's like, oh, come, let's read the Qur'an. Ugh. Oh my God, seriously? I don't want to do that right now. You know, it becomes a burden. Right? Because there has been a distance from the Qur'an. So that's why that distance is actually dangerous. Because it grows, it keeps compounding over time. And that's very problematic. And the only way to cure it is to bite down and close that gap, close that distance. Until there is you're back to a regular rhythm. That's why the ulama, they said you have to have something regular with the Qur'an. It can't be like, oh, you know, once a month I have this day dedicated, alhamdulillah, Qur'an day. Once a month, and then I'm good. Or once a year, Ramadan, I go all out. Man, come see me in Ramadan, you'll start thinking of the Sahaba. Out of Ramadan, what Qur'an? Oh, it's up there in the shelf. It looks nice, you know? It doesn't work like that. You can't have, the person who has that type of relationship with Qur'an, they won't be able to do tadabbur. You can't do it. That muscle of tadabbur will become atrophied. Khalas. يعني you can't wake it up. You have to be consistent. Even if it's something small, but it needs to be regular. It needs to be continuous. Let's look at some of the blessings and some of the rewards of the one who has good companionship with the Qur'an. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith narrated by Burayda radiallahu anhu, and it's recorded by Ibn Majah, and some of the scholars said that it is sound. إن القرآن يلقى صاحبه يوم القيامة
حين ينشق عنه قبره كالرجل الشاحب فيقول هل تعرفني؟ فيقول ما أعرفك. فيقول أنا صاحبك القرآن.
The Quran will come as a in the shape of a man when a person you know is on the day of judgment, when the grave of a person opens and they are going to be resurrected and come out of their grave. And this, the figure of this man will say, do you know who I am? And the person will say, no, who are you? And he'll say, I am your companion, the Qur'an. I am the one that that you kept companionship with times of solitude, and you spent many nights with me.
وَإِنَّ كُلَّ تَاجِرٍ وَرَاءَ تِجَارَتَهُ وَإِنِّي لَكَ الْيَوْمْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ كُلِّ تِجَارَةٍ.
So he says, and you know, every trader follows up with their commodity. And so I am here to follow up with you. So they will be given, you know, they will be given a huge reward of mulk, of dominion, of kingship in one hand, and they will be given al-khulud wal-khuld bishimalihi, eternity. خلاص, now you will have reward from Allah without any ending.
وَيُوضَعُ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ تَاجُ الْوَقَارِ.
And it will be placed upon his head a crown of special jewels.
وَيُكْسَى وَالِدَاهُ.
And the person's parents will be adorned with bracelets.
لَا تَقُومُ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا.
Everything in this world cannot compensate for that jewelry, that adornment.
فَيَقُولَانِ
بِمَا كَسَيْنَا هَذَا. So they will say, where did this come from? Where did this jewelry come from?
فَيُقَالْ بِأَخْذِ وَلَدِكُمَا الْقُرْآنِ.
This is the reward of your child learning the Qur'an and taking the Qur'an.
ثُمَّ يُقَالْ اِقْرَأْ وَصَعَدْ فِي دَرَجِ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُرَفِهَا فَهُوَ فِي صُعُودٍ مَا كَانَ يَقْرَأْ هَذَا كَانَ أَوْ تَرْتِيلًا.
And so then it will be said to him, recite Qur'an and elevate and climb up in the ranks and the levels of Jannah. You know, Jannah is multiple levels. It's not all one level. It's many levels. It will be said, recite and keep climbing up in those levels of Jannah.
If this is the honor that Allah has prepared for the companion of the Qur'an in the Akhirah, in the hereafter,
what kind of an honor has Allah prepared for the companion of the Qur'an in this dunya?
Well, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ مِنْ إِجْلَالِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِكْرَامُ ذِي الشَّيْبَةِ الْمُسْلِمِ وَحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ غَيْرَ الْغَالِي فِيهِ وَالْجَافِي عَنْهِ وَإِكْرَامُ ذِي السُّلْطَانِ الْمُقْسِطِ.
This is narrated in Abu Dawood, and the scholar said it's authentic. The Prophet ﷺ says that from Allah, from the means of honoring Allah, is to do ikram, to be generous and to honor three types of people. Who are they? The Shaybati al-Muslim, the believer that has grown old in age. They've been Muslim for a long time. So honoring the elderly believers.
And حامل القرآن غير الغالي فيه والجافي عنه.
And the vessel, the person that is a vessel containing the Qur'an. They are neither extremists in it, nor are they extremely dry. So they are balanced in their understanding and application of the Qur'an. And this Sultan al-Muqsit, the one who has authority and leadership, but they are just. They are just. طيب. We know now, we understand that this Qur'an is special. If we want to be able to read the Qur'an with tadabbur, what we need to do is, we need to gather our heart.
إِذَا أَرَدْتَ الْإِنْتِفَاعَ بِالْقُرْآنِ فَاجْمَعْ قَلْبَكَ عِنْدَ تِلَاوَتِهِ وَسَمَاعِهِ وَأَلْقِ سَمْعَكَ وَاحْضَرْ حُضُورَ مَنْ يُخَاطِبُهُ بِهِ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنْهُ إِلَيْهِ فَإِنَّهُ خِطَابٌ مِنْهُ لَكَ عَلَى لِسَانِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ.
If you want to benefit from the Qur'an, here's what you need to do. You need to فَجْمَعْ قَلْبَكْ. Very interesting choice of words the scholars use here. They say, gather your heart. Gather your heart. You're like, what are you talking about? It's only in one place. It's all here. No. What they mean by gathering your heart, you see, there are a lot of different things that pull our attention and our emotions in different directions. So someone is reading the Qur'an, but really their heart is thinking about, you know, that job application they just put in, or that marriage proposal that they're waiting to hear back from, or What else is there that people get that in that business investment that they're hoping to reap some rewards from? Or maybe their child. Or maybe, what is it? I don't know, your favorite TV show? What is it that takes people's hearts? Allahu A'lam. All of these things. Tayyib, if that's the condition of our heart, yani literally your heart is being pulled in all these different directions. It's being pulled in all these different directions, and now you want to sit down and do tadabbur. Allahu Akbar, mashallah. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He says, فَجْمَعْ قَلْبَكَ. You need to be in a state of being where you're not attached to all of these things. Composed. فَجْمَعْ قَلْبَكَ. What else? عِنْدَ تِلَاوَتِهِ وَسَمَاعِهِ. When you want to recite it or when you want to hear it. Sometimes you don't want to recite, sometimes you want to hear it. No problem. The Prophet ﷺ did the same thing too. Didn't he call Ubay? And he said, Ubay, recite to me this portion of Qur'an. Ubay is like, what? Me read Qur'an to you? The Qur'an is revealed to you. Who am I to read it? He said, no, I like to hear it from other than me. And he said that to Ibn Mas'ud as well. So whether you're reciting or hearing it. So gather all the different parts of your heart that are pulled in different directions. وَأَلْقِ سَمْعَكَ. And give it your hearing and your attention. وَحْضَرْ. And be present. Be present. You know, not just physically present, but be mentally present. Be aware of what you're reading. You know, sometimes you're reading something and you're like, wait a second, I crossed all these pages, I don't even know what I... So you end up going back. You're like, I read that? Yeah, you read it, but you weren't fully there. You were somewhere else. So you need to have hudur, you need to be present. Look at this amazing verse in the Qur'an. In Surah Qaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرَى لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Allah says, in this Qur'an is a reminder. For who? لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ. For the one that has a heart. For the one that has a heart. Not physically a heart beating, but meaning they have a heart, a heart that is interacting with the Qur'an, that is present. Sometimes a person has their physical heart there, but the heart that interacts with the Qur'an, the spiritual heart, is very far away. Or it's very polluted, it's clouded with something. The Qur'an is not penetrating. So you have to have qalb. أَوْ أَلْقَى السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Or they give it their full attention and their listening. So what are the adab? طيب. We want Allah to love us. So we want to apply principle number one of reading Qur'an with tadabbur. What are the practical aspects of reading Qur'an with tadabbur? What are the adab, the etiquettes? ذكر الإمام النووي رحمه الله جملا من تلك الآداب والأحكام في كتابه التبيان. الإمام النووي, he has a book, it's called التبيان في آداب حملة القرآن. A clear explanation for how those that carry the Qur'an should behave. Okay? And in this he gave some recommendations. Some recommendations. Because you want to put all of the chances of success on your side. طيب. So what are these recommendations? Number one. الإخلاص في القراءة واستحضار مناجات الله تعالى. Having إخلاص. Having sincerity. That I'm going to sit down now and I'm going to read Qur'an. And I'm doing this sincerely because I want to be close to my Creator. I want to love my Creator and I want my Creator to love me. Sincerity. Not because someone is looking or someone is watching or someone will say or someone won't say. None of that matters right now. Just be in privacy. It's ikhlas. It's for the sake of Allah. And realize that you are doing munajat. Realize that actually in the process of reciting Qur'an, you are actually calling out to Allah. You are having a conversation with Allah. How many of us think of that when we are reciting Qur'an? That I'm actually having a conversation. I'm not just reading something that was printed on some pages long, long ago in a far, far away land. No, what I am doing right now is I am reading the words of my Creator and He is hearing me now as I read them and we are having a conversation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing me right now and when I make dua, Allah will respond to my dua. So realize that sincerity and then realize this is a conversation with Allah. Number two, he says, أَنْ يُنَظِّفَ فَاهُ بِالسِّوَاكِ أَوْ مَا يَقُومُ مَقَامَهُ. He says, to clean your mouth with siwak. To clean your mouth. You know siwak? It's this, where's Abdul Rahman? Is Abdul Rahman here? He's outside? Okay, because I saw him coming in earlier and he had one. No, it's okay, no problem. If he was here, I was going to ask him to show it to him. Oh, you have one? Oh, it's a little stick, right? A siwak. It comes from a tree. It comes from a particular tree, and it has a nice little minty, spicy flavor, and it's nice. It cleans your breath. And the Prophet ﷺ loved a siwak. And he said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَىٰ. He says, if it wasn't for the fact that I don't want to make it difficult for my ummah, I would have commanded them to use this siwak before every single salah. So you make wudu, and then you do siwak, and then you pray. But it's not a commandment, it's a recommendation. It is a tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أو ما يقوم مقامه. Somebody can say, "Hey man, I ain't sticking no, you know, tree branch in my mouth. That's kind of weird." We say, "Okay, you should try it before you decide it's weird." But in case you don't want to try it, you can use your good old Philips Sonicare and your good old, you know, Colgate or 3D White or whatever it is you use. Just clean your mouth, man. That's all that we're talking about here. Somebody might say, well, I'm going to pass around a pack of Orbit. MashaAllah, I noticed that. Zakumullah khair. Thanks for sharing. No, it's okay. I don't want it. Too late now. No? Zakumullah khair. So, you want to clean your mouth. I'm joking. I promise I'm joking. So you want to clean your mouth. You want to clean your mouth with something that will purify your mouth. Why? Because you're reciting Qur'an. You're reciting Qur'an. You want it to all smell good. Now, unfortunately here, we have to take a important... I don't want to say commercial break, because it's really not a commercial break, it's a little rant break. Adam, do you give me permission? He doesn't like when I go on these, but تحمل يعني, allow me please. We are coming upon the month of Ramadan. Okay? And in Ramadan, we fast. And then the sun goes down, and we throw it down. We throw it down on the dinner table, or some of us do. Yeah? No? Sorry, I take it back. I retract that. Right? Right, we get really excited on the dinner table. And mashallah, some people get excited with the garlic in the food before it hits the dinner table. Or the onion, or whatever it might be. Jazakumullah khairan, mashallah. You want the food to taste good? I appreciate your efforts in making the food taste good, but you have now ruined our experience in the Masjid al-Tarawih. Thank you very much. You know? And maybe you could take it a little bit easy in Ramadan on those ingredients that have, fumes. You know? Jazakumullah khairan. That's one of the perks of being the imam, is no one's next to you dropping those iftar bombs on you. You know? Alhamdulillah. That's one of the perks. But then after four rak'ahs, you gotta go back and then someone just drops one, you know? So that's, it gets kind of intense, you know? Khalas? Yakfi Adam? Sino? Yeah, he's blushing, so we'll cut it out right there. The idea is, يعني, we should maintain this adab of smelling good. I gave an announcement a couple of weeks ago. One brother came to me, he was like a volcano. I was like, Bismillah, calm down, you're scaring me. You know, he was a big guy too. He said, يعني, I made sujood in this place and I was gonna like pass out. Because whoever prayed over here, you know, they just dropped something heavy. And mashallah, the carpet welcomed it. So he was imploring me. He said, please make an announcement after Salatul Isha for people to clean their feet before coming in the masjid. And then he was so passionate. He said, if anybody does not have clean socks, wallahi, I will go and buy new socks for anybody. Promise, just come and talk to me, I'll buy you a lifetime supply of socks. Just don't come in the masjid with those monsters, you know? So I really had to make the announcement, otherwise I thought he might beat me up after Salah. So alhamdulillah, we made the announcement. And then a brother came to me afterwards and he said, Jazakallah khair, that was very needed, but you have to add another aspect to it. I said, Bismillah. He said, it's not only feet, it's also the fumes that come out of the mouth as well. So this is an important announcement. It's funny now, but it's not funny when it happens to you, you know? You get a little dizzy sometimes. Jazakumullah khairan. You guys are making me very confident right now. I might pursue like a career in comedy or something after tonight. طيب, we're ready to move on. إخلاص, clean your mouth. Number 3, أن يقرأ وهو على طهارة. To recite the Quran and you are in a state of purity, meaning you make wudu. You make wudu. Now, here we have several questions that rise up. Do I have to be on wudu when I am reciting Quran? No, you don't have to be on wudu when you are reciting Quran, but you need wudu when you are interacting with the mushaf. People say, what is the mushaf? The mushaf is the physical copy of the Quran in Arabic in entirety, from cover to cover. That is a mushaf. What if it's on my phone? No problem. What if it's on my iPad? No problem. What if it's a translation? No problem. All of those don't count as mushaf. Huh? So we should be on wudu. We should be in a state of wudu. And if a person is in a state of major ritual impurity, like that time of the month for our sisters, or when a person is in a state of janaba, of major ritual impurity, then the scholars say they don't do extra voluntary recitation at that time until they achieve a state of major purity. But if they go over certain verses that are part of adhkar, for example, like I'm reading my morning prayers, my morning supplications, part of that is verses from Quran. Yes, that's okay. Or a person is in a full-time Quran study program where they're reciting and they're memorizing. That's okay, no problem. So that's number three, to be in a state of ritual purity, in a state of tahara. طيب, the next one is يستحب أن تكون القراءة في مكان نظيف ويستحب لذلك المسجد لأنه في الغالب يجمع بين النظافة وشرف البقعة إضافة إلى أن الجلوس فيه يمكن أن يكون اعتكافا بالنية. هذا قول عند الشافعية. وينبغي كذلك أن لا يقرأ القرآن إلا في مكان طيب طاهر. The author says it is also recommended to choose a place of purity, a place that is clean as well. And he says, and at the height of that is the masjid, because the masjid combines cleanliness, inshallah. That's why we need to take care of the masajid. We need to take care of them, you know, keep them clean. We can all share in that, inshallah. It combines physical cleanliness and also the honor and the sanctity of the place. Now someone might say, you know what, that doesn't apply for me. Like every time I come to the masjid, يعني, it's just too many distractions. Or people keep talking to me, or this, or that, or I don't know what the situation is, but it's hard for me to recite with tadabbur in the masjid. We will say two things. We will say number one, don't give up on the masjid. We'll say number one, don't give up on the masjid. And number two, we will say, that's okay. Come to the masjid for a bit and you can seek other places as well. Somebody might say, wallahi, I go hiking, I go to the top of this hill, I'm in nature, no cell phone reception, and over there I open the Quran and it's like absolutely amazing. You say, mashallah, good for you. More power to you. But you choose a clean place, a place of purity, and a place where you are able to focus. يُسْتَحَبُّ لِلْقَارِئِ أَنْ يَسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةَ فِي قِرَاءَتِهِ وَيَجْلِسَ مُتَخَشِّعًا بِسَكِينَةٍ وَوَقَارٍ. It is also recommended for the person when they want to recite the Qur'an to sit facing the Qibla. To face the direction of the Qibla, the direction we face when we make our regular salah, our regular devotional prayers. Is it mandatory? No, it's not mandatory. It is something recommended. It is something recommended. طيب, and to sit down. To sit down in a state of humility. Is it permissible to recite while you are standing or while you are laying down? Yes, it is permissible. But it is preferred to be sitting down. That is more respect and more honoring and more likely to be in a position conducive of interactive reading. But if somebody is standing, it's okay, you can read while standing. If somebody is laying on their side, you can read while laying on your side. لا بأس. But the best is to be sitting down. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ شُرُوعَ فِي الْقِرَاءَةِ اسْتُحِبَّ لَهُ أَنْ يَسْتَعِيذَ فَيَقُولَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. هكذا قال الجمهور من العلماء. وينبغي أن يحافظ على قراءة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم في أول كل سورة سوى براءة. Also, when they want to begin reciting Quran, that they begin with the statement and the phrase known as الاستعاذة. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. I seek refuge, I seek protection with Allah from الشيطان الرجيم. The shaytan that is pushed far away. That is pushed far away from the mercy of Allah. Why do I seek refuge in Allah from the shaytan? Because this act of worship that I am about to do, shaytan does not like it. And he does not want me to do it. And so you can definitely be assured that as soon as you start reading Quran, 1,000,001 ideas will come in your head. It's gonna happen. And that's all from shaitan. He wants to get you distracted. He wants to get you away. That's why you do all of these steps to increase the chances of being able to focus. And at the height of that, you seek refuge in Allah from shaitan. And you recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And some of the scholars said you do this at the beginning of every surah, except Surah Bara'a, Surah At-Tawbah, which is chapter number 9 or 10? 9, chapter number 9. Some of the ulama are of the opinion that you recite the basmala even if it's not the beginning of the chapter, even if it's in the middle or in a section in the middle of the chapter, that you still read the basmala. That's the opinion of my teacher, Wallahu A'lam. وإذا شرع في القراءة فليستجمع همته للخشوع والتدبر. And so when you begin to recite the Quran, you need to really sum up your courage and your energy, your intellectual energy, with the intention that you are going to focus and you are going to read, seeking lessons and seeking benefits and trying to interact with the Quran and understand and ask yourself what is Allah asking of me after I read this verse. يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِذَا قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنِ أَنْ يَسْتَشْعِرَ خَشْيَةَ اللَّهِ وَالْخَوْفِ مِنْهِ لِقَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ اِقْرَأُوا الْقُرْآنَ وَابْكُوا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَبْكُوا فَتَبَاكَوْا. It's also important to internalize the greatness of Allah and recognize that there is an element of fear. And it's not a paralyzing fear, it is a motivating fear. It is a fear of wanting to fall into any situation that Allah is not pleased with. And when you have that internal awareness, then you will have khushu', you will have more focus in your reading. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, which is recorded in Ibn Majah, and some of the scholars said it is weak, some of the scholars said it has weakness. The Prophet ﷺ said, read the Qur'an and cry, shed tears. And if you are not able to, then take the effort into doing so. Meaning, try to do so. Tabaka, make an effort to do so. ذَلِكَ بِأَنْ يَتَأَمَّلْ مَا فِي الْقُرْآنِ مِنَ التَّهْدِيدِ وَالْوَعِيدِ وَالْمَوَاثِيقِ وَالْعُهُودِ ثُمَّ يَتَأَمَّلْ تَقْصِيرُهُ فِي ذَلِكَ فَإِنْ لَمْ يُحْضِرْهُ الْحُزْنُ وَالْبُكَاءُ فَلْيَبْكِ عَلَى قَسْوَةِ قَلْبِهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْمَصَائِبِ. How do you attain that? The ulama, they said, when you come across a passage of Qur'an where Allah is perhaps making mention of the punishment that awaits the disbelievers, or a severe warning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in the Qur'an, or perhaps something that is frightening, that a person stops at these verses and looks to themselves and realizes their shortcomings, recognizes that they have shortcomings, and that will lead them to feeling, feelings of sadness and crying and shedding tears. And the scholars, they said, if a person reads these powerful verses and they don't shed any tears, then let them shed tears at the inability to shed tears, because that means that there are a lot of pollutants surrounding our heart. And there is some hardness in our heart. And that's something that needs cleansing. And one of the ways of cleansing is the Qur'an. That same thing that we are trying to seek, it is also the medicine that allows us to get to that sweetness. Now, the shedding of the tears doesn't only need to be when reciting verses of punishment or verses of warning. It can also be in verses of hope or in verses of mercy. And there are different types of tears. There is a tear of sadness at a person's shortcomings, but there's also tears of joy and tears of hope and tears of longing and tears of love. That's especially beautiful when a person does that in the most intimate of settings, when it is just them and their Creator. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا وَقَدْ اتَّفَقَ الْعُلَمَاءُ عَلَى اسْتِحْبَابِ التَّرْتِيلِ لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. التَّرْتِيلُ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّوْقِيرِ وَأَشَدُّ تَأْثِيرًا فِي الْقَلْبِ مِنَ الْقِرَاءَةِ السَّرِيعَةِ. The scholars also said that when you want to read a reading of tadabbur, you read in a speed known as tartil. Tartil is a moderate speed that is not excruciatingly slow, but it is also not very fast. It is not very fast. It is a reading where there is a short pause between each verse, between each ending of each verse, and it is not a race. It is a reading where every letter is enunciated clearly, and every letter is given its due right. This is what is referred to by tartil. There is a faster reading, and that is encouraged for people that are doing review. Remember we said there are different readings in the beginning? Someone who memorized Qur'an and they need to review it. They may need to review, 100, 200 pages. So they would read fast. Right? They would read fast. Or there's repetition, so they read fast. That is the fast reading. But when it comes to trying to do tadabbur, trying to reflect, you have to read in the speed of tartil, a methodical reading.
وَيَجِبُ أَنْ يَعْتَنِي بِاحْتِرَامِ الْقُرْآنِ عفواً before that. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ إِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةِ رَحْمَةٍ أَنْ يَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَإِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةِ عَذَابٍ أَنْ يَسْتَعِيذَ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّرِّ وَمِنَ الْعَذَابِ وَإِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةِ تَنْزِيهٍ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى نَزَّهَهُ فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ.
Also, when a person comes across a verse that is talking about the mercy of Allah or some reward that Allah has prepared for the believers, that you pause and you respond by making dua, and you ask Allah for His mercy and for His bounty and His blessings. Likewise, if you come across a verse that has mention of punishment or of a severe warning, then you pause and you ask Allah for protection and you seek refuge in Allah. And if you come across a verse that is glorifying Allah or praising Allah, that you also do the same. You praise and you glorify Allah, and you can make a statement like, for example, Subhanallah. Anybody know what Subhanallah means? What does Subhanallah mean? No. 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 Who said that? What does that mean? Tanzih. The brother said the right answer. Tanzih. What does that refer to exactly? No. Close, but not there yet. Subhanallah means that Allah is free from any imperfection. Free from any naqs or aib, any deficiency or any imperfection. Who here is free from imperfection? Didn't think so. Me neither. Because we are creation. Creation has imperfection. The Khaliq, the Creator, is free of any imperfection. So when you make the statement, Subhanallah, you are exclaiming and proclaiming how perfect is Allah. How amazing is Allah that He is free of any imperfection or any deficiency. So when you come across a verse that is praising or glorifying or exalting Allah, you pause and you say, Subhanallah. And this is actually what the Prophet ﷺ used to do in his night prayer, in his Qiyamul Layl. إِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةِ عَذَابٍ, if he passed over a verse that mentions punishment, he sought refuge in Allah. إِذَا مَرَّ بِآيَةِ نَعِيمٍ, if he passes by a verse of blessing, of reward, he asks Allah from His bounty. And if he goes by a verse glorifying Allah, praising Allah, he says Subhanallah. This is something that you can do in your night prayer. The ulama said this is something you do in the nafila, in the voluntary prayer. In the voluntary prayer, not in the obligatory prayer, in the voluntary prayer. There are several others. Oh man, subhanAllah. There are about 30 in total, and we got about 14 or 15. So we'll pause here, inshallah, because it's almost time for Salatul Isha, and perhaps some of us want to make wudu, or maybe some of us have a question. So if anybody has a question, bismillah. Yeah. Yeah. When a woman reads Quran, she does not need to be wearing hijab while reading Quran, so long as she is not in a place where she would be expected to be wearing hijab. So if she's in the privacy of her home and there is no one there that she needs to wear hijab from, she does not need to put on hijab for the purpose of reading Quran. But generally speaking, as you are kind of getting the idea from these etiquettes, is to put yourself in a position of respect. So a person should be clothed in a way that is respectful, that has some haya, that has some dignity. But if she's in the privacy of her home, she does not need to wear hijab for the purpose of reading Qur'an. That's for salah. Yes, ma'am. MashaAllah. Yeah, mashallah. May Allah grant her sincerity and success. Yes, this is something we mentioned. So we talked when a person is in a state of major ritual impurity, like the monthly period, or if a person is in a state of janaba, meaning after intercourse and they have not made ghusl, they have not made a full ritual shower yet, then they are not to hold the actual mushaf. We said, what is meant by that? It means the Qur'an. In Arabic, in entirety, from beginning till end. But if a person has it on their phone, for example, or in the case of someone who is learning, who is memorizing, what they can do is they can take that portion. They don't have to hold the entire Qur'an, they can hold that portion that they are currently memorizing. So if you go to any of the bookstores, they have the entire Qur'an divided into the portions. Each one is an individual book by itself. The ulama spoke about this, they said if a person is in a program, or they are memorizing regularly, then they can do the juz. They can hold just that juz that they are using for their learning at that time. And you can listen to Qur'an. There's nothing wrong with listening to Qur'an if you are not in a state where you can recite it. As for the issue of the gloves, this is something that there is difference of opinion amongst the ulama. There's difference of opinion amongst the scholars of jurisprudence. And my teachers are of the opinion that you don't wear gloves. You just hold something that is not a mushaf in entirety. And that's the opinion of the Maliki school. Wallahu a'lam. And other scholars have said otherwise. So if she is following the advice of a sound scholar, then that is good for her to do, and there is no reason to debate the matter. Wallahu a'lam. Yes? Jazakallah khairan. Yeah, mashallah. Yes, I get your point that hadith does not mean that the Prophet ﷺ was repeating it for tadabbur. First of all, what is tadabbur? Part of tadabbur is to realize what the meaning is, and that will have a change in your dua. So if you read a particular verse and you say, Allah subhanahu, and that verse impacts your dua, you have done tadabbur. That is part of tadabbur. The idea behind tadabbur is that there is interaction. Is whether that's by dua, or whether that's by istihbar ma'ani, or whether that's by recognizing some taqseer within yourself. Now we're not saying the Prophet ﷺ did not understand the Qur'an, or anything like that. No, we're not making those statements, but we're saying even the Prophet ﷺ repeated the verse so many times because he realized and he understood the magnitude of that meaning. And was he making that statement as dua for his ummah? Mumkin, yuhtamal. يُحْتَمَلْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا مُنَافَاتْ بَيْنَهُمْ. There's no contradiction between the two. Because to make dua based on something we read in the Qur'an is part of the process of tadabbur. Is part of the process of tadabbur. فَهَذَا دَاخِلٌ فِي ذَاكْ. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ. Yes, sir. that has sujood. These places where there is a sujood marker, the ulama differed how many there are and what your reaction should be. So some said that it's 15 and some said that it is 11. Wallahu a'lam. Some said that it is 14. And the scholars also differed whether it's obligatory to make sujood or not. Some said it's obligatory if you are the one reciting it. Some said it's obligatory if you hearing it. And others said, no, it is a strongly encouraged act. But it is not obligatory, meaning if you don't do it, you are not sinful. And that seems to be the closer one, that if a person leaves it, they are not sinful. But they should not leave it without any good reason, because there is ajr in it. And there's following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. One instance where a person may not do it is, for example, if they're memorizing or they're reviewing. And they reach that part where the sajda is. They may repeat it 20, 30, 40, 50 times. Yeah, every time he's going to make sujood. No, we will say, khalas, it's okay. Just once is enough. And then you can repeat it for your memorization. And you're not sinful for not making the sujood every single time. Wallahu alam. With that, we will conclude, inshallah ta'ala. Inshallah, we will continue and resume the topic in future gatherings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from Ahlul Qur'an, the special people of Qur'an, the special allies of Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to recite the Qur'an by day and by night in a manner that is most pleasing to Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us with our beloved Messenger in the highest levels of Jannah. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wallahu alam wa sallamu alaikum.